This is PFW in Progress.
The best undiscovered female voices will sing on this stage tonight with one definite goal: to win your vote. You decide their destiny. You make the call. The competition is on. Let's go. This is
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I like that, Fred, though.
I think it was a complete and utter mess. It didn't work. It was all over the place. You were forgetting your words. It just didn't work.
Lightly.
I really, really, really hated that. Sorry.
Paul Perillo.
Are you drunk?
No, not at all.
No. I thought it was ridiculous.
And Andy. And Andy?
Last week you indicated that you are on a different page.
Well, let's just redefine that as correct page.
Andy Hart.
So, being serious, I watched the show back, and I have to say, if I was giving myself marks out of 10, I'd give myself a 10.
Some guy named Tom.
The reality is, it is actually more than just singing. It is about personality. It's about the right choice of song. You can't come up on a stage like tonight and be in your own world and hope that you're going to interest the American audience, because they're going to forget that performance three performances later. So not your best night by a mile.
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
You are cute. You're likable. I think America, if they haven't already, are going to fall in love with you.
PFW in Progress.
There's nothing much you can do.
And there were parts during the performance where it was actually painful. It didn't work. You can't keep doing this week after week after week. Sorry.
There's no question America's already fallen in love with PFW in Progress. Tom Casale and Paul Perillo with you on a That's More Like It Tuesday. Tom, would you consider that a That's More Like It Tuesday?
For me, it's a I Don't Really Care Tuesday.
Wow. Wow.
They got, to me, two games left, the Bears and Jacksonville. They lose both those, I don't care.
Well, I would tend to agree with you. We're going to get into that, obviously, over the next couple hours here at Gillette Stadium, PFW in Progress. Breaking a trend, a winning Tuesday. It's been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Almost 4 years of going without with back-to-back losses, and it almost seemed like we weren't going to win again.
Yeah, it was good to get back on the winning track, but, I mean, playing the Packers, that's like playing the Lions in a couple of weeks, you know? They're going to kill them. These are the worst teams in the NFC, which is a lesser conference than the AFC. And the Patriots do what they're supposed to do. They don't mess around. They go, they take care of business and whoop on these teams instead of keeping them in the game. And, you know, I commend them for that, but I want to see them this week against the Bears. I think they'll beat the Bears, but if they don't, then I think we're right back where we started.
I would tend to agree with that. But 35-0 in Green Bay, Patriots' first ever victory at Lambeau Field, and their first road shutout, Tom, in 20 years. Last time they shut a team out on the road, do you know who it was?
I forgot.
Pittsburgh Steelers, 34-0, 1986. That was the end of the Chuck Knoll era.
Yeah.
Didn't end well for the Chuck Knoll era. One of the great coaches ever, but
it was just like Landry. They
didn't get to go out in a high note.
They both went out the same way.
Well, Landry went out a lot worse. Landry was shown the door.
But the team was terrible when he left.
Yeah. I mean, certainly not at the level that, he had spent most of his wonderful career coaching at. But the Patriots now, the big question here, we saw a lot of positives, and we'll talk about the game, and we want, obviously, your thoughts in the game. You can email them to us here at PFW in Progress, webradio@patriots.com. Again, that's webradio@patriots.com. Also, you can give us a call. It's 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482.
Give us a call on our request line.
Absolutely, and you might even get to talk to Dave Dudek if you do that. But the big question here, and Tom alluded to it already, a lot of positives, a lot of good stuff came out of this game, I thought, on Sunday. The question remains, though, how important is all the good stuff that we saw? How much of the good stuff was a result of the Patriots being great, and how much was a result of the Packers being what I consider about as bad a team as I've seen this year?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I am stunned that team won four games. Now, clearly, Brett Favre had to have had better games than that this year.
I'm stunned.
Because that was about as miserable a quarterback performance as we've seen. He had wide-open guys all over the place in the first half and missed them all by wide, wide margins. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about some of the things that they did well, Tom. First and foremost for me, I think offensively, I would say, is Richey Caldwell. I just got finished talking to him in the locker room a little bit. He seems to be emerging a little bit now as the wide receiver that's separating himself from the pack. Do you agree?
I agree. And see, that's why I think this is such a big week to answer questions, because now that he is emerging, here's Nathan Basher. You know what I mean? Now let's see you beat him. And so that's why I think this is such a big week for the Patriots, because the things we saw in Green Bay, are they going to build on them and continue this week? Or are we going to go back to the, well, we stumble and, you know, we play these tough teams? And so for me, I want to see him build on the 35-0 win. They did some things well, but like you said, I mean, I don't know if you could tell on TV, but I'm with you. How bad can the Lions be? They got beat pretty badly at home by the Packers.
Yeah, that game in a couple of weeks might be legendary bad. If the Patriots were able to beat a team this badly on the road that is conceivably better than Detroit, what is Detroit going to do here at Gillette Stadium?
I can't see anything but a 45-0 whitewashing. But, you know, Caldwell has emerged. Then you go on the other side, and Doug Gabriel, he was, you know, after the fumble in the Jets game, we didn't see him, and he was only on the field for a few plays in this game, so you got to wonder what's going on there. So it seems like every time you get a plus, then you go, there's a negative right next to it.
Yeah.
That's one of the problems, I think.
That's a good point. I thought even though they didn't pile up big yards in the running game, I thought they did a nice job running the ball. I thought Maroney seemed to get better. You know, the whole question was, you know, should we keep splitting the carries? Well, they didn't really split the carries this week. It was more Maroney, and I thought he got better with more touches. So I thought that was a positive sign. You got a chance to talk to Maroney a little bit in the locker room. What was his overall mindset like?
Well, I like they asked, you know, do you keep tabs on the other rookies like Reggie Bush? And he goes, who? So I thought that was funny. But he basically said, you know, he feels good. And I think that was one of the reasons why they did split carries, so he didn't hit that rookie wall. He says his body feels fresh. The way him and Corey have been splitting the carries has really kept his body, you know, because normally he'd be done. Like, if he played at Minnesota, his season is over with.
Well, especially at Minnesota.
Yeah. you know, they did go... At best, you
they would go to a bowl game.
You go to a bowl game, so he's got one more game, but it's a lot different than playing, you know, six more games in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, he knew about that coming in, and right now he feels good. He's got no physical limitations. His body feels good, and he's ready for the stretch run. So that's a good sign.
Now, defensively, I thought that, you know, one of the concerns heading into the game was we figured last week there was a chance that we were going to be without Asante Samuel. I mean, we were talking about it late in the week. You made the comment that, you know, he's on that injury report with a knee injury, and knee injuries can kind of be scary because, you know, you never know. So it turned out the fears were realized because, you know, he couldn't play. Now, that left them without three out of their four starters in the defensive backfield. We'll never know if it was an issue because
the Packers completed nine passes.
And looking back at all of the throws they made, I find it amazing that they completed nine.
Me too.
That's how far off they were on their passes. And I'll tell you, if they're waiting in Green Bay for the Aaron Rodgers era, waiting, you know, kind of impatiently, the first impression, for me anyway, was not good. And the only other time I saw Aaron Rodgers play was the last time we were in Lambeau. He played in the preseason, and he was equally bad. I just chalked that up as, you know, he was a rookie at the time.
And I have a theory that his foot's not even broken. I think they're just saving him so they can trade him in the offseason, because I don't think...
Well, he certainly doesn't have any trade value coming off of that game, Tom, I got to tell you.
They'll find some sucker who wants a young quarterback, though. You know, he looked like, I know he's young, and I don't want to be too hard on him, but he's been this is his second year in the NFL.
Right.
You think he'd be able to, like, throw a forward pass. He looked like a seventh-round draft pick who was in his first game ever. That was a terrible performance. Yeah, you're right. They're in a little trouble there with Favre and him. It doesn't look like it's going to be an easy transition.
Right, but overall, that secondary, I felt, played pretty well. And they were able to do some things. They They played with James Sanders at safety. Mm-hmm. They played with, you know, back to the Scott and Hobbs at corner. And Troy Brown just once again proves to be, you know, he not only played both ways, which he has done several times, but he did it in the same game this week. He caught four passes.
Yeah.
And he was out there for a handful, 12, 15 plays on defense, helping to double-team Donald Driver. And that was a key factor of the game. Belichick said after the game that they doubled Driver on pretty much every play. And the few that they didn't, he said they should have.
Right. And I got the feeling that they knew coming in if they could shut down Driver, they were going to win that game rather easily. Because just watching the Packers, they have. I mean, we talk. It's like I always say, people think we're being critical, but you know, we get paid to break down the Patriots, you know, 53-man roster and you know, nitpick every little thing. But you think the Patriots are hurting at receiver? I mean, the Packers, they don't have anybody. They got two guys, and that's it. When they were going wide, they were putting tight ends out there, and not good ones either. Just guys.
I now wonder, you know, just on based on one game, not that the guy did anything wrong in the game, but I now wonder how good Greg Jennings is. Or is it just that he's the only other one?
Right.
You know, because it's one of those things. Someone's got to make the catches.
Right. And when you're playing the Lions, someone's going to be open.
You know, you can look at, you know, the receiver situation and say, well, you know, he had 60 catches. Well, you know, they're going to have, you know, 350 completions during the course of the season.
Right.
If they all stink, someone's got to catch the ball.
Right.
So that's one of those things that you kind of wonder about afterwards. And Greg Jennings, I think, is a promising young player. But looking at that receiver core on the field the other day now, I wonder, is he just, you know, the other guy benefiting from all the double teams on Donald Driver, and there's no one else in the Packers capable of catching the ball? So
and this was a good game for Samuel to miss because the Packers really didn't have the offensive personnel to spread him out and make them pay for their lack of depth in the secondary. So that helped the Patriots out, I think.
And he was, Samuel I'm talking about, was in a very good mood today in the locker room, just kind of joking around with him a little bit. Not saying that that means he's going to play, but my guess would be I would lean toward that way because I don't think that he would be joking around
I
as much.
I think they knew they could beat the Packers without him, and they're saving him for Chicago.
You might be right, Tom. We also, by the way, but we're going to continue to talk about the Patriots' big win on Sunday to snap the brief two-game losing streak and get back on the winning track at 7-3. But we probably should indicate the field is down. It's all in place. The lines have been painted. The field turf surface here at Gillette Stadium looks pretty good. Tom and I are going to check it out.
We're going to go walk on it and get, you know, make sure.
We're going to check it out and
okay.
risk termination. I think we'll see if it's okay. We'll check back with Bill later. But Belichick did mention yesterday on Patriots Monday here, which you can hear on Patriots.com, obviously, on WEEI. He mentioned that they're going to try to practice on that surface at some point this week to get a little bit of a feel for it. So congratulations to all involved. And I'm being serious here. Fred would probably think that I'm being sarcastic. But I say congratulations to all involved for getting that process done so quickly. Hopefully it was done effectively as well. But a process that's supposed to take 5 to 6 weeks to have been done in, 8 days.
Yeah.
I think everybody all around deserves congratulations for that. And hopefully the field will hold up and we'll no longer have to worry about the sod and any of that turf talk from here on in. What else about these Patriots games, Tom?
One topic that's been coming up, and I think we'll probably get some emails, is, oh, they're a better road team than they are a home team. Well, they're playing the Sisters of the Poor on the road.
Yeah, if they had the same schedule on the road as if they did at home, they would be 5-0 at home, and they would be 2-3 on the road.
That's what I think, too, exactly. And, you know,
totally circumstantial.
We got some emails saying it would be better to go on the road in the playoffs. Well, yeah, if you want to go to Denver, Baltimore, San Diego, or Indianapolis, go ahead. I bet you Belichick and Brady would like to play at home.
Now, also, probably maybe in the second hour we'll get into this, but I'd like to maybe kind of play 10 games now. Let's try to break down a little bit the AFC, the East in particular, but the AFC in general, and try to figure out where we're going. I think because it's all kind of related, because I think, as you can tell by the tone that Tom and I are having here, where it was a solid win, impressed with the win, but it was also an expected win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the closest game that any of the three of us had, I don't count Fred because Fred was kind of pouting last week a little bit when he was talking about Green Bay winning the game, and I don't think he really thought that was going to happen. But I think I had 28-6. I think you had something
I had
like
31-20, I think.
So, okay, so you had a little closer, but a lot of points.
Yeah.
And Andy had a similar score as well. So they did about what you would expect.
I was expecting the Packers
to put up a little bit of a fight.
Especially with the problems in the secondary. I thought they might hit a big play on them or two on them, but you could tell right away Favre didn't have it. And I know there was some speculation that he hurt his groin and he might not have been fully healthy, but, you know, if you're not healthy, then don't play. That's what I say.
He was bad. There's no question about that. But let's start in on some emails here, because I'm just looking at the first one here. Ron in Tennessee, kind of online with us, Tom. Says, fool us one, shame on you. Fool us twice, shame on us. We fell for it after the Minnesota game, and we are not falling for the banana in the tailpipe again. Another impressive offensive performance against... he didn't really say that. I just...
Oh.
He said, we're not falling for it again.
You're another, not fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
Another impressive offensive performance against a bad defense and another win against a bad team. If this team puts up 35 points against the Bears, then we'll be impressed. But if this team lays another turnover-filled egg at home this Sunday, we'll be right back where we were before this game, wondering if our team can beat any good team and thinking our playoff run will end very quickly. Let's hope our team can finally defend its newly resurfaced home field against a decent team. And that's basically Tom and I's mentality coming off that game.
Let's suppose for a second they go on for the season, they lose to the Bears in Jacksonville and beat everybody else. Is any Patriot fan in the world going to be excited about the playoffs? Because in my opinion, you went 0-5 on the year. Because the teams you beat, all the other ones stink. You can make a claim that the Bengals are a pretty good team, but they got the same record as the 49ers. Let's be honest here. The same record as the 49ers. So they're not a great team. But even if you wanted to throw that one in, you're 1-5 against good teams. So I think that the Bears game, the Jacksonville game, two big games for the Patriots. They need a couple of good wins on their resume.
And you know what? I saw some quotes from Patriots players today in the paper. There was a charity event, I think, last night or yesterday. You know, Thanksgiving turkey, you know, giveaway kind of thing that a lot of the Patriots players were at. And the Boston Herald was there. John Tomasi talked to a few of them, and I was glad to see some of the players actually calling this game against Chicago, admitting that it was a big game. It was a little different than just the average, normal, regular season game. They don't always do that around here. We know they feel like that,
right.
But I was glad to see them kind of come out and admit that it was this game was a little bit different than, you know, say the Green Bay game or the Detroit game next week.
Right.
This is an important game, I think, for the Patriots all around, for their fans, for their psyche, for their place in the AFC. You know, are you with us or you're against us? Are you part of the? Are you kind of part of that group with Indy and San Diego and Baltimore that is a contender, or are you trying to like scrape and scratch and claw for a chance to upset somebody in the playoffs?
And the one thing I'm worried about with the Patriots when you talk about the Chargers and the Colts is I was watching the Cowboys game. And they're another team that runs a 3-4, and they gave the Colts a lot of trouble. Now, the Chargers gave them a lot of trouble.
Right.
The Steelers gave them a lot of trouble. The Patriots used to give them a lot of trouble. They don't anymore. And I think I found the reason why. The Patriots are very slow on defense. The Cowboys, their players like Burnett and those guys, they might not be as good as the Patriot players in general, but they're very fast. And they get to the ball quickly. They get to Manning quickly. And I think in the middle of that defense, they're getting older and they're getting slower. And I'm worried about that when you talk about teams like San Diego, who has Gates, and the Colts, who throw over the middle a lot. You know, even the Jets, I know they didn't throw for a lot of yards, but those guys were wide open in the middle of the field. So that's the one thing I'm concerned about with the defense.
I agree with you. And, you know, it's funny. You talked about that Cowboys-Colts game, and I'm sure that you got home and watched it or watched some facsimile of it a lot closer than I did. I do know that the Colts played a very sloppy football
game.
They
weren't there.
And they had a lot of turnovers. And I found it very interesting in listening to talk radio yesterday around here, which is really Homer Central. I mean, WEEI, when it comes to the Patriots, is a lot less objective than Patriots Football Weekly is.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just tell you that. And we don't necessarily claim to be bastions of integrity when it comes to objectivity. We obviously all want the Patriots to win, and we make no bones about that. But listening to these guys, you know, talk about the Colts, like the Colts are 1-9 instead of 9-1. The Cowboys beat them up. They did this. They did that. Well, the Colts did the same thing to the Patriots a couple of weeks ago, forcing all those turnovers, and all everybody talked about was how bad the Patriots were.
Right.
You know, why doesn't anybody say the Colts just played a bad game?
I can honestly tell you that they didn't want to be out in the field. You could tell right away that one team really wanted that game.
It was a huge game for Dallas. It was a must-win for Dallas.
If they were to play in the Super Bowl, like where it meant everything, I can tell you right now the Cowboys wouldn't win that game.
And I'm not saying that the Dallas Cowboys aren't good, because you and I both have talked about this. We felt they were a good team last year, and they should have been better. And we felt they were a good team this year, even when Bledsoe was struggling badly, and they should have been better. Now that they don't have some of these mistakes being made at quarterback, they're finally winning some games. There's still something missing, I think, with the team. It's still very strange to me that they aren't even better than they are. But I now think that they are clearly the front runner to win that division, and they're going to be a very, very tough out in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I personally think, regardless of who plays quarterback, because I think they've kind of gotten on track. Now, if they got that confidence from Romo, then, you know, so be it. But I think he's played great. I think Romo's played terrific. But I don't want to lose sight of the fact that the Colts came in, and how many turnovers? Four?
Five
turnovers?
Yeah.
I mean, I know they had at least a couple of picks.
No, there was four, two fumbles and two interceptions.
Yeah, and one of which was returned for a touchdown.
I don't know what Dungy's doing. I mean, my father thinks he gave the game away because he didn't want all the undefeated talk. I mean, that was such a terrible...
Your father's just like you, huh? He has irrational thoughts every once in a while.
No, he doesn't honestly think it, but he said that's what it was like. Because he said, why wouldn't they replay that? He was obviously down by contact. It wasn't even
close. Remember, I told you
that
they had a dispute, but I had my, you know, just to kind of set the scene for the listeners here. Tom and I were very much interested in the Ohio State-Michigan game, so Tom had Fred's handheld TV. I had my own. They were about, what would you say those screens are, 3 inches?
Yeah.
Following the ball was difficult enough, you know, and especially when the pitcher wasn't always the best. But they showed the replay of that, and I go, oh, I think the Cowboys got a disputed touchdown in the game. I couldn't tell what was going on. The screen was so small. But unfortunately, we missed one of the better games of the year. But that was a huge game for Dallas,
and
it was just another non-conference game for the Colts.
One of those games where, Manning was kind of walking around, and they just didn't seem to be there.
I also think that you could find, I think if you had the same play that happened on the goal line where Roy Williams knocked over Dallas Clark and picked off the pass, I think that play could happen five times and you could call for a penalty at least three.
But that goes back to what I said after the Colts-Patriots game. One place they're going to struggle is inside that 10-yard line, because they can't run the football in on better teams, and they have to throw it. And that's going to hurt them in the playoffs, because when they got inside the, you know, even at the 5-yard line against the Patriots, they had no chance. I mean, they were getting lucky if they got an inch.
Yeah, they did run it in once, though.
Well, I'm just saying, in general, they cannot run the football in the red zone, and they're forced to throw it. And you don't have a lot of separation there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not completely sold on the Colts, because I still think that defense is not championship caliber, although it's playing better.
Yeah, and Sanders was out for the Cowboys.
I was going to say, and they were missing,
But nobody's good. I mean, the Broncos stink. The Chargers, can you score 40 points a game on them? I mean,
yeah, and we'll get to that in the second hour, but I just felt that it was kind of interesting the way everybody was dismissing the Colts, because they got beat up. Somehow they got beat up by Dallas, whereas when the Patriots turned the ball over five times against the Colts, it was just the Patriots' sloppiness that cost them the game.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I just find it very funny the way we do that. But let's move on to some more emails here. Webradio@patriots.com. Again, webradio@patriots.com. We have Tom next up. Unfortunately, due to the education taking preference, I don't know what that means. Do you? Unfortunately, due to education taking preference ill, only being catching the podcast. Oh, I'll. I think it's supposed to be only be catching the podcast. So I'm sorry if this has already been said. Okay, sorry about that, Tom. Tom's in Nottingham, England, by the way. Great win, and probably far be it from me to question Tom's English, since he is from Nottingham, England. I'm sure he speaks the mother's language.
The Queen's English.
I just called it the mother's English. The Queen's English. A hell of a lot better than I ever will. Anyway, great win. However, it was against Green Bay, so I'm really not getting overly excited. This week is clearly a bigger test. We are playing a team that can actually defend against the pass, so I don't expect a similar match. Watson finally got into the game, which was quite pleasing, and another solid game from Caldwell. However, I did have a minor heart attack when I saw Granddad Vinny come out at the end. Overall, pleasing, but keep things in perspective. So
the fans are pretty much...
Yeah, I'm a little surprised by that.
Me too.
I'm a little surprised by that.
But you know what, though? When you're 4-9 against winning teams the last 2 years, it's like the one guy said, fool me once, but they got to start beating some good teams. Because fans aren't stupid. You know, I know there's the Homer Fred fans who will just say, yeah, we're back. But, you know, fans are pretty intelligent. And like he said, I think the first time when they whooped on the Vikings, everyone started, well, here we come. And then, boom, you know, there goes the two losses.
And I'm going to paint myself into the guilty category on the Vikings game. I thought that was here we come. They had arrived. I thought the offense had it all together. You know, the defense I thought was playing pretty solid all year long. But I was wrong. You know, there was still some more warts there that needed to be uncovered.
What we didn't know, and to put that one in perspective, Green Bay went on the road and beat Minnesota. Enough said.
Right.
I mean,
Minnesota
seriously.
Hasn't won since.
Right.
Minnesota hasn't won since.
They did not win again.
And, you know, how about the tough, gritty, never-say-die Miami Dolphins?
Yeah, what a bunch of frauds. Oh, they are. What a bunch of frauds.
They could win the rest of their games.
They're going to end up going like 8-8 now.
They could go 10-6 and still not go anywhere.
Jeez.
It's unbelievable that this is 2 years in a row now that they seem to have been turning it on after
it's too late. I put that right on the coaching.
Yeah.
Right on the coaching.
Why not? Anyway, this is, just want to throw this one out there. Ross writes in, says, the only thing you need, this is a reference to last week's show with you and Fred, I believe. The only thing you need to know about Winger is the geek on Beavis and Butthead wore a Winger t-shirt.
That is true.
But
the Miami game too. Now that'll be a tough one.
I think that game will be.
They'll have no pressure on them. They'll probably be playing pretty well at that point.
Well, let's put it this way: I don't know who the Dolphins have between now and then.
Detroit on Thanksgiving, so they should beat them.
Miami plays Detroit on Thanksgiving, so we get to see Miami Thursday
Detroit
as well.
And,
so
and Tampa Bay,
they should be able to find a way to win that one. Yeah, I know that the other game is Dallas Tampa. That won't be a good.
They shouldn't be.
I don't think that'll be a good matchup either. I just don't see Tampa Bay putting any points up against
Well, you wouldn't
Dallas.
Think so.
But unless Roy Williams gets involved. Boy, I'll tell you, this one guy, Tom opened my eyes so wide to Roy Williams, the overrated aspect of Roy Williams, I'll tell you.
I just don't understand why they don't do the smart thing, have him gain 5 to 10 pounds and play linebacker. He'd be a fast linebacker. He's physical. He can't play safety. He was responsible for the long pass down the field to Harrison that almost allowed the Colts to tie the game up.
That was an odd play, the fourth down play, the fourth and two.
I had no idea what they were doing.
What was Peyton?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Well, someone did get knocked down on the play.
I saw him complaining for a call.
But that's generally what the Colts do every play. It was within 5 yards, though. So he was, you know, it was one of those, he was in within 5 yards, but they did knock a receiver down.
Well, I don't know. I thought it was funny, and until they're a funny team. The Colts, I think that they have been able to win games in a different fashion this year, which tells me that maybe they are developing developing some toughness, maybe some mental toughness. Because in the past, whenever they were held to, you know, they won a game 14-13 this year, right? 17-16. They could never win games
right.
in the teens before. And they darn near tied up that game at 21 the other day in a game that they obviously didn't have a great game. So, I think they're developing, but I still that defense
like,
is just not championship.
Much
caliber.
Like last year, which I thought was the case, I think again this year their nightmare matchup is still San Diego, based on how San Diego plays defense up front and the offensive weapons they have. They can do the same. They can either beat the Colts 17-14 or they can just outscore them. So I think that's the one team they're hoping they don't match up against. Plus, they got Tomlinson.
Right.
And I don't care Bob Sanders or no Bob Sanders. You put that rush defense up against Tomlinson, you're going home.
I agree. And I think that's the biggest question mark for the Colts is if they can figure out if they can stop anybody.
Right.
Especially on the ground. But, you know, the Patriots on Sunday, they also got Ty Warren back. We were talking about, like, positives and things that you bring out of the game. And I thought that the defensive line as a group was dominant again.
Yeah.
Now, I know it was against Green Bay, but
we even
Seymour,
saw Richard Seymour make some plays.
You know, Seymour, obviously listening to last week's PFW in Progress show is because...
You reach Richard Seymour fan hotline.
He was back to Richard Seymour last week. He's chasing plays down from the backside. He's holding the point of attack, mm-hmm. you know, with double teams.
Give me a call back later.
Ty Warren steps right back in and...
And make it a great day.
I thought he was tremendous again.
And I think they were a little embarrassed what happened in the Jets
game. They should have been.
Will Fork got dominated, and that usually doesn't happen.
They should have been a little embarrassed, but to get dominated by rookies. And, mm-hmm. you know, they faced three rookies on Sunday again, and this time they made them look like they were facing
right.
three rookies. And not so much with pass rush, but, you know, just suffocating the line of scrimmage. They couldn't run at all. And, you know, when they couldn't throw... because the quarterbacks couldn't throw. But they had this thing, Tom, that they started. Will Fork went out and bought a toy wrestling belt that is about as cheesy as you'll ever find, by the way.
Though those things do go about for $75
well,
for us normal folk. That's
yeah, it was a wrestling belt, and they decided to give it they vote on themselves. You know, they vote amongst themselves, the defensive line. Whoever had the best game gets the belt. And Ty Warren got the belt this week. For his performance, and he talked about, you know, he said, you know, Ty Warren was king of the hill today. And, you know, I joked with him. I said, well, I'll have to see where you guys, if you guys are king of the hill in general.
Yeah.
You know, before too long. We got Craig on the line there, Gary.
Craig.
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
What's up, my man?
Well, I was just sitting here eating my peanut butter and banana sandwich listening to you guys.
All right, and, Elvis.
When you made the comment, you know, about there are a lot of, Patriot fans out there, you know, who think, you know, wow, you know, we killed Green Bay. You know, we're really doing something now. I mean, anybody out there, I don't care how staunch a Patriot fan you are, anybody out there who has seen Green Bay play the last 3 years pretty much should have at least an inkling of an idea that, you know, they suck, okay? So beating them 35-0 is no big deal. A lot, like you said, a lot of guys jumped on the bandwagon when we beat Minnesota. You know, we beat them pretty good. The way I look at it, guys, if we play mistake-free football, relatively mistake-free football, we can play with any team out there. We, you know, you take, say, the 10 best teams and, you know, have a playoff, any of those 10 could win. So, I don't dispel the idea that, you know, we're in the mix and we still have a shot at the Super Bowl. I believe that. I just think that a lot of people look at the Patriots like we're just kind of stumbling along because we don't have the consistency that we had years ago. I think, you know, we're still capable of doing some really good things. I just think that, the persona that we had, you know, of a character football team and finding ways to win, I don't think we've got that right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I do, Craig. And I think that's what Tom and I are basically talking about. Because we haven't really seen them come up with one of those performances against, you know, one of the elite teams, you know, or the teams, instead of calling them elite, let's call them the teams with the better records, okay? You know, teams like Denver and Indy. And we haven't really seen them come up with one of those efforts like, we, you know, in the past. In 2004, it didn't matter. Or 2003, it didn't matter who came to town or where they went. You know, the Patriots, if yeah, to use your phrase, Craig, if the Patriots played mistake-free football, they were going to win. Now, if they play mistake-free football, I agree with what you said. They can be competitive with anybody. But I think if they play mistake-free football and, say, San Diego plays mistake-free football, there's a good chance the Patriots lose. And I don't think I ever felt like that back in the quote-unquote glory days.
Right. Well, I think that goes back to that, you know, that character and mental toughness and finding a way to win type deal.
And they certainly still have that.
Yeah. The way I look at it, I mean, and you guys touched on this, you know, I look at it this way. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I absolutely hate losing to the Colts. I absolutely hate the Colts. Just for so many years, you know, we're in our division. And, you know, I mean, Peyton Manning is the best quarterback in football. It pains me to say that, but I can't stand the guy. But anyway, I was probably the only Patriot fan in the country that actually was excited after that game, only for one reason. You know, if we got to lose, I look at it this way. We turned the friggin' ball over 5 times and only lost by a touchdown. I'm sorry. I'm just like, well, that's one tip ball away from being a tied ball game. You know, I mean, there was,
But they still got outplayed. That's listen, you know what? They weren't very good last year, and people keep trying to make the point that they were. Then they go to Denver, they turn the ball over a bunch of times, and we're blaming turnovers. Well, you know why they turned the ball over? Because they weren't very good. They were 10-6. That's why. Well, good teams don't do that. That's all part of the game. When they were winning Super Bowls, they made other teams, you know, they got turnovers. They did those things.
Right.
So what are you saying, that those other teams stunk and the Patriots shouldn't have been champions?
No, I'm saying, okay, definitely. I think this year's team has the capability of winning the Super Bowl. I don't think last year's team did. Last year, I mean, you can't win in the playoffs unless you can run the ball, period. Okay, this year, so long as the coaching staff stays committed to the run, you know, it's like against the Colts. You know, I believe we should have just lined up and kept smashing mouth, kept running the football against them. But we were trying trick plays and all kinds of stuff. Far be it from me to second guess the coaching staff. But, you know, we have to play our strengths and against their weaknesses.
Well, we'll have to see if they can run the ball against a quality run defense, because they haven't really done that, in my opinion, yet. But there's still a long way to go, 6 games to go in the regular season. And, you know, clearly they're going to make the playoffs. So, Craig, keep up the enthusiasm. We love the enthusiasm. Bring it to us all the time. Strange that we hadn't heard from Craig, by the way, Gary, in the last couple of weeks. But he's back. Craig's back. We love to have you, bud.
By the dawn's early.
And we'll talk to you next week. And now we have
anyway,
a lot of emails.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Craig. We have a lot of emails lining up. And we'll step aside right now because Paul needs another Diet Pepsi and can't get through the rest of the show without it. So keep the emails coming in, webradio@patriots.com. We'll be right back.
When you got a Ryland-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, Tabula's Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Let's go, let's jump right in. Come on, baby, let's go.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4-FORD-10. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling.
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. all of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Back here on PFW in Progress, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo with you from Gillette Stadium, talking about big Patriots victory on Sunday, 35-0 over the Green Bay Packers. First ever victory for the Patriots at Lambeau Field. Boy, Brett Favre was a real disappointment. And not that I'm hoping that the other team's quarterback plays very well, but, you know, he is one of the, you know, whatever, even if you're the biggest, you know,
Brett Favre
basher out there, you have to put him in the top, what minimum, 10?
Yeah, minimum
15?
10. Minimum's 10, I think.
You know, quarterbacks of all time. And he was just awful. I was looking forward to watching him play.
Five. Yeah, plus, I didn't even get to talk to him after the game. That's
yeah.
One of the things, you know. Well, you get to go to the opposing locker
room. Oh, well, hey, I talked to Brett Favre last week,
and,
you know.
But he was injured, and he didn't talk. So, you know, it was a pretty boring trip.
Broncos, by the way, I think are in the...
Nick Ferguson's out for the year.
They're in the midst, I think, right now of a fall.
Yeah.
And I think the Broncos are a decent team, but I don't think they're that good. I think they're very similar to the Patriots. I think they're teetering right on the edge.
They're going
to
be fighting for a playoff spot, I think.
Yeah, I think San Diego was better. And not
only
they...
San Diego gets to host them now.
Yeah, not only they lost that game on Sunday at home, but they blew a big lead.
And yeah.
That's very un-Denver-like. I thought that they played very sloppy down the stretch of that game. And they had chances and just didn't get it done. Let's see, who's up here? Russell, I think, is next up.
Doucette.
That's Early Doucette.
Caught a touchdown pass this week.
Early Doucette?
Yeah.
Nice. I've been severely stunned the last few days. First, I tune into PFW to hear you manly men talking about how they watch and enjoy Dancing with the Stars. Say it ain't so. Then, on Sunday, I get to check out the field turf cam to see how the progress is coming, only to find the field turf cam was not to be. I'm sure you can feel my pain. Anyway, I'm not going to get all hyped up about the victory over the Green Bay Community College, but here's a few observations. Just so you know before I get into this early, the webcam was taken down for business reasons. We can't really get into, but there was some sort of legal reasons that we needed to get that down. So it wasn't because we were, you know, falsely hyping something.
Fred screwed up.
No, Fred didn't screw up. Anyway, is it? These are... Early's observations. Is it just me, or does Mike Reese look a lot like the dude Jared who wants us all to live on Subway sandwiches?
He's not quite that tall.
No, he's very short, but he does kind of resemble him. Don't think it's anything to do with that pencil neck geek Lowe. Yeah, Brian Lowe is really the Jared of the organization. Anyway, number two, did John Tomasi play the character Pat on Saturday Night Live? Why are we ripping all the media guys' appearances? Not that I'm disagreeing with any of them. Three, have you noticed when Pennington stands on the sideline with his helmet off, his head shape and facial features are very similar to Stewie on Family Guy? I didn't really notice that.
No.
Lastly, I need to mention the annoying Ron Borges. I know you guys fear him. I don't feel who fears him. But in the great history of Boston sports writers, the best analogy I can give is that Borges is Joe Besser, or if you prefer, Curly Joe. But he wishes he were Will McDonough.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Okay. That's Russell live from the sun-soaked OC. Is Joe Besser Curly Joe?
Must be.
I believe so, but not Curly.
It's not Curly.
It's not Curly. There was Curly and Curly Joe.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'd never really heard Joe. And no question, Russell's analogy is perfect because Joe was by far the worst stooge.
Right. Now, Curly died, right? That's why they replaced him.
Is that right?
I believe he was the first. He was the first to die, and I believe that.
Well, 47 minutes into the show, we finally have, I think, a topic worth exploring. So, Get those emails coming in. What came first?
Shaughnessy would have to be Larry, right?
Was it Curly first, or Joe, or Shampo?
Or Shampo. You know,
why the changing of the guard of that last stooge? And I would definitely rate him Curly, Shemp, Joe in terms of entertainment value, but I don't know the answer to that. You don't either, huh?
I believe Curly died, but I'm not sure.
All right. Well, let's go to Steve in Kingston, Ontario. I guess we can all breathe a little easier. The Packers did not beat the Pats. I know there was some concern at PFW that this was a must win by some, and I have to agree with you on that. It was a must win. Well, the good part about that is they won the game, so, you know, must win, they won. The bad part is we'll never know if it was
right.
A must win because they won.
But after watching the Packers play, I think it was a must win, because if you lose to that team, you're in trouble.
Ooh, excuse me on that one, as Gary's handing me a note. What is this? I think we can trade Vinny to Green Bay. Rogers broke his foot.
No, question mark.
Oh, think we can trade Vinny to Green Bay. What do you think?
No.
Get draft picks.
Get an 18th rounder for him.
Their quarterbacks would be a combined 81 years old.
I'll tell you something. Vinny could not have been worse than Brett Favre was on Sunday.
No, but I don't think you want to go from 38 to 43.
They punted one more time than they had completed passes.
Wow. Anyway, let's see here. Steve's email says he agreed with us that it was a must win. At least no one seriously believed the Packers could topple the Pats. 4 touchdowns through the air by Brady. Very nice. Of course, this is the Packers, so no need to celebrate. But it was nice to see the passing game connecting. My question is, do you guys see anything in the passing game that suggests improvement, or is this just the Pats taking advantage of the Packers?
Too hard to tell. We'll know this week.
Yeah, that's the big question. How much of the positives were a result of the Packers? That's the big question, and we'll move forward and try to find the answers. Finally, if Tom is there, he is, and his topic says is regarding young girls in Canada. Tom, the age of consent in Canada is 14.
You got to be kidding me.
Unless you're in a position of power / trust.
Jackpot.
Then you have to wait until 18.
14?
Good
I didn't
news.
Know about that.
Good news for you. PFW employee is not considered a position of trust or power.
That's true.
One more reason to hope the league expands to Toronto over China. That's Steve in
Ontario. If they expand to Toronto, I'm getting a job there. Are you kidding me? I mean, with my diabetes,
work for AFW,
yeah,
Argonauts Football Weekly.
You got your free health insurance. You got 14-year-old being the age limit. That's like my heaven.
Let's get to the more important stuff.
Packers signed quarterback Todd Bowman.
Andy, there are a couple of bags of Lay's regular chips here and some Fritos. That gets your annoying little question off the board. He wants to know if there's chips down here.
Jesus. What a loser.
He really is. You know, ever since he lost all his bulk, he's really been losing his mind.
You should see him. He looks like a midget, or I'm sorry, a little person. I don't know what I can say anymore. I don't want to go Kramer on here.
What are you doing?
What is that?
The theme to chips.
Okay. All right.
No good. Who remembers chips? I mean, I remember it.
I didn't like chips. All those NBC shows that everybody watched. I Knight Rider, Chips.
I never watched any of those shows.
It just wasn't a big fan. The A-Team. I wasn't a big fan of any of them. They were all on NBC. I didn't like any of them.
The A-Team.
Dukes of Hazzard.
That was CBS.
Yeah, that was CBS. Everyone watched the Dukes.
I didn't really like the Dukes either.
Oh, you're nuts.
I didn't.
You're nuts.
I did like Different Strokes, though. That was an NBC show. Anyway, let's see. Matthew is next up. Observations from the weekend. I'm a big fan of the show, and I listen often, especially Casale. Very opinionated, like myself. I have 4 observations. So you're a hothead who's just, you know, rants and raves for no reason?
Not very good looking.
I have 4 observations from the weekend, which are completely unrelated. 1, did anyone notice at halftime when the injury card, yes, I did notice this, that was carrying
funny.
Brett Favre off the field, almost hit Willie Andrews. It was Hobbs, I thought.
It was, it was Willie Andrews, and it was,
Hobbs almost had his Achilles torn.
Well, I know on ESPN they showed it was Willie Andrews. And then from sitting up high, they almost killed one of the Packer employees, too, that was coming out for halftime.
Yeah, it was a disgrace.
I mean, that guy was going 85 miles an hour.
It was like the guy, you know, driving JFK to the hospital in Dallas. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Like, hey, worst case scenario, Brett Favre retires. I don't think anyone's going to jump out the window over that.
Right. If not, ask him about it. On TV, it looked like a near-death experience. I agree with you, Matthew. It was shameful. Two, separated at birth, Aaron Rodgers and Ellen DeGeneres. I didn't really see Aaron Rodgers up close enough to know. All I saw was his backside on the ground, most of it. Three, I thoroughly enjoyed the Cowboys-Colts game. I have to say I couldn't be more impressed with what has become of Terry Glenn. I was sure that when he left, his career was rapidly coming to an end. What I see now is a selfish receiver who isn't afraid to go over the middle, plays hurt, and doesn't mind playing second fiddle to that jackass on the other side. All he did this weekend was make clutch catch after clutch catch. I don't know what his contract status is, but it seems to me he's playing himself into another decent payday. I think Terry Glenn's been terrific.
Yeah.
Since he left the Patriots,
Let's hope that continues as he's about to be on my fantasy team.
He hasn't had a bad year since he left the Patriots.
No.
I mean, that one year in Green Bay was fairly productive, too. Four, Fred, The Life Aquatic is the second worst movie ever made, surpassed only by The English Patient. It has more awkward moments than a Michael Richards comedy routine. I love the up-to-date comedy there. That was good. That was well done right there, Matt. If you want to see a great, obscure Bill Murray movie, check out Quick Change, about a clown who robs a bank. Funny as hell. That's Matt in Quincy, Mass. Well, that's good stuff right there, even though I don't know The Life Aquatic.
Well, Fred loves it. Fred thinks it's like the greatest movie. You know, it's one of those cerebral movies.
I was going to say, I'll guarantee I know what kind of movie it is.
Yeah, it's one of those. I've never seen it. I just know what kind of movie it is, and that's what it is. It's one of those where you really have to think about it, and people like Fred try to spin it.
It's kind of like when I talk to you guys about the 1AA players that I see every week in the Atlantic 10, and I say how great they are. You know, no matter what I say, I'm right. Because I know that no one's ever seen them. That's how Fred is with his movies.
And speaking of not knowing anything, Andy Hart's here.
Well, to get his bag of Fritos.
How come they're so small?
I don't know. There was a good shot there from Deidre.
You're so retarded and you can't hear me.
Do you not have your headphones on?
There's no battery in it.
What are you going to do? All right. Ryan is next up, and he is in Fredericton, New Brunswick. A lot of Canadians, Tom.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard, Andy, but they're trying to lure Tom to Dallas. Because,
no, Canada.
Toronto is what I meant to say. I don't know why I said Dallas.
Dallas.
They're trying to lure Tom to Toronto.
Myself there.
Because the age of consent is 14.
Did you know that?
Unless you're in a position of power or trust.
Which I am neither.
Did not know that. That's a little young.
That's ridiculous.
16, I might be able to understand.
Hey, I don't make the laws, Andy. I just follow them.
All right, so Ryan is in New Brunswick. He says, I know you guys have said that you don't think the Pats will pony up big dough for Samuel this offseason because other teams will pay huge dollars for good corners. After watching Glenn and Newman beat up Harrison and Wayne in that boys-Colts matchup, I can't help but wonder if good corners are what it takes to turn a good defense into a championship-winning defense. What is your opinion on the methods used by the Cowboys to beat the Colts? Was it the fast edge rushers, physical corners, all of the above and more? I know this is a Patriots show, but a formula for beating the Colts seems like a necessity if we're going to win a Super Bowl this year. Comments?
Well, first let me say that Henry didn't beat up anybody. Reggie Wayne beat him like a cheap suit or a rented suit.
I didn't see the game,
so
I can't really comment.
Now, Newman played well, but he was actually...
a rented mule?
Rented mule. Yeah, I always use it. You know, there's something with a cheap suit, though, too.
Like a cheap $3 suit.
He's all over you
like
a cheap
suit. Right. Now, Newman played well, but he was out for some of that game. He got injured. They were basically double covering Harrison. And they were physical, but the Colts threw a lot of underneath stuff, like where I said where the Cowboys were quick in the middle of the defense, and their linebackers were all over the place. And I think the Colts had a bad game plan. I think they let the Cowboys dictate to them, and I don't think they were in the game mentally. So when they needed to get down the field, they got down the field. Let me put it that way. Before the half and before the end of the game, they got down there in 2 seconds.
Right. It also sounded like maybe Dallas's speed on defense was a factor.
Caused a lot of problems. You know,
they got some pressure on Manning from the outside. It looked like Ware had some good pressure.
Yep, Carpenter had a pretty good game. It was kind of like similar to, like I said, like what the Chargers did with that fast front seven. But that's the Patriots don't. They have a fast.
But that's my point
three.
Is you don't really have a fast front seven, and I think that that's one area. And you brought it up earlier in the show, Tom, where the Patriots might be lacking a little bit in this whole switch to field turf. Might be something to keep an eye on because while it is a faster surface, it may not play to the defense's strength as much, as we've led to believe. Now, obviously, they've played very well on turf. Tom Brady's 19-1. That means the defense is 19-1 too.
Right? No. Actually, it's weird. The defense is like 10-10 in those games. It's strange.
Good call.
Is that like the emails we get that want to know why they can't play it good at home, and if it's the surface? Well, weren't the Colts, Broncos, and Jets playing on the same surface?
Right. Anyway, we'll take one more email before we take another break. Brian is in Colorado. I'm just letting you know that, Gary. You see how I did that? That's why you're right. I might be ready for that gig that we were talking about earlier.
Well, you're perfect for AM radio. You're taking a break every 10 minutes.
How did the backups
do? Got a career
do?
At 890 Boston.
How did the backups do? Sanders in particular. This is good that Andy's down here because he's working on this angle for us.
Just so you know, I haven't spoken with James Sanders.
I see that he played the whole game. I was told that Green Bay had open receivers that the quarterbacks missed. Is Sanders making progress? Can you make a general evaluation of team depth? Hope y'all have a good Thanksgiving. Well, you did talk to Hawkins and Hobbs kind of about Sanders, so I thought
and they were gushing about him. Hawkins said he has one of the best attitudes on the team in terms of work ethic and learning from his mistakes and all that, and he thinks he's going to be a very good player in this league. And Hobbs talked about it sort of, they came in together, they've gone through some things together, and he was joking with him about, this is your opportunity, man. That's how I got my role with this team, taking advantage of my opportunity last year, got me more playing time.
Got me demoted to third string.
When a guy's talking, you just kind of let him go and just say what he wanted. I didn't want to, get into any specifics there.
With the German,
Chad Scott,
when
Sonny Samuel
were
playing.
When the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor, let him go. He's rolling.
But, everybody, and I know the coaches raved about Sanders early in the year. Everybody seems to like him. He had that hiccup in Denver, didn't play for a while afterwards. I'm not going to pretend I saw everything he did this past Sunday, but, he fit in. Everybody said the communication was great. They, everything unfolded how they expected. They were doubling driver. Everything played out how they wanted it to do, and he was clearly a part of that.
Well, and I'm glad to see that he hired Mike Reese as his agent.
No. Mike Reese works for the entire team, so every player falls under Mike Reese's contract to, praise the team nonstop.
Wow. The vitriol that you're going at.
That's out
fellow
there.
Members of the media.
You know how it works. Nothing we say in this room leaves this room.
Right. Well,
by the way, I think Brady might be in trouble. A little bit of a crown to that field out there. I was looking across. It looked like there's, a little higher in the middle. He might be in trouble here.
That's kind of funny.
Funny how?
They built a bigger crown in?
No, I don't know.
It was already there?
There's a little crown. I think the old field was flat because there was just sand in the middle. I think technically a field is supposed to have a slight crown to it.
Well, you would think.
Not that this has anything to do with anything, but did you ever see the old University of Oklahoma field?
Huge.
It was
huge
so
crown.
Big you could barely see the opposing team across the field.
If you were like at ground level on one sideline, you couldn't see from the knee down of the people standing on the other sideline. Oklahoma was like that. Texas Stadium was like that at the original old turf that they had, the AstroTurf.
Gives new meaning to running downhill, huh?
Exactly. Well, that was the whole point of it for Oklahoma. They had all those wishbone
option
days with the triple option.
Anyway,
good time to take a step back here. Plenty of emails. Keep them coming. webradio@patriots.com. We'll be right back.
Hello, Newman.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck.
Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby, let's go.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hon.
...or renovate the bathroom...
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh... My...
...or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard... A little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Exclusively from the New England Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson, free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait to fly at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-ANNABELLE-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph your name and limited to your first 400 qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
This is PFW in progress.
They tell you all the time what to do, what to think, what to feel. Do you want to be like a chief, like all those other people, man?
Bah, bah.
Do you want to work 8 to 10 hours? You own nothing? You got nothing? Do you know I eat octopus 3 times a day? How do you like that? I'm a political prisoner, and I want my human right. Now, just like the president, Jimmy Carter says.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Why don't you try sticking your head up your ass? See if he fits.
Paul Perillo.
You're 50, you got a bag for a belly, they got hair on them, you got a liver, they got spots on it, and you're a junkie. Sleeps all day with them black chaise on, wakes up with a quailu.
And Andy.
You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Andy Hart.
So say goodnight to the bad guy. Come on. The last time you're going to see a bad guy like this again, let me tell you.
Some guy named Tom.
Let's get this straight. All I have in this world is my balls and my word. And I don't break them for no one. You understand?
PFW in progress.
You want to play rough? Okay.
No.
Say hello to my little friend.
Back for the second hour of PFW in progress. Andy Hart with us now. Tom Casale, Paul Perillo here at Gillette Stadium. Andy, you in? Tom and I were going to go and check out the turf on the way back upstairs after the show's over.
We better hurry up. We don't want, because Fred's going to be standing there with his arms folded waiting for us to go to the TV show.
Oh, I forgot
about
that.
Antsy.
Yeah.
We should go out and look at it, though.
Yeah, you know, like step on it, you know.
I'll be right behind you guys.
Well, I thought that with
when
you
I see
two,
that little red dot.
With you two finely tuned athletes, I thought we could get a good indication of how fast the track is. You know, me trying to run, you know, that's not really going to do much good.
Well, Andy should be able to blaze it now that he's down to 145 pounds.
All right.
I think he might be, you know, taking the Olympics on for a sprinting champ. What do you think?
I've lost a little muscle. Must we point it out?
It is what it is.
I do have a lot of people ask me, though. You losing weight? And normally people take that as a positive, but for me, it's not what I'm looking for.
Steroid boy's all upset.
That's
what do you mean I'm losing
weight?
That's
like, remember when I found out I had gained weight, and I went to a wedding, and one of my old friends came up to me and said, Jesus, Casale, you're as wide as a house, and I darn near knocked him out.
Back in your mid-200 days, when the scales were wrong across the country?
When Bill had me out there trying me out for inside linebacker to replace Monty Beisel.
Because you had the girth.
Yeah, I had girth, but I didn't have anything else.
Like that commercial on Felger Show, 5'11" and 248 pounds is no way to go through life.
And I'm only 5'9".
All right, well, Andy, we basically the theme of the first hour was solid bounce back win, but you know how much stock can we put into it because we got to take into consideration how bad the Packers played and
nothing.
And that was, you know, a lot of the emailers so far have agreed that you know they did exactly what we thought they would. They beat up on a bad team, but we don't really know much more about them now than we did.
Well, you certainly better than the alternative.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah. You had to win that game, and you had to win it somewhat convincingly.
And you know what this week is? For me, this, and it's the same week, we played the Chiefs Thanksgiving weekend last year, and that's when I jumped ship. I said, you know what, if this team is not going to be any good teams, then what's the sense? They're not going to win in the playoffs. To me, this, we're in a similar situation. I said earlier, and I don't know if you agree, Andy, if they lose to the Bears and to Jacksonville, then for me they're 0-5 on the year. Or 0-4,
oh, yeah, no question.
They've lost all their good.
No question.
You know, the best you can hang your hat on is we beat the Bengals, who will probably be 9-7.
If the Bears come in here and beat the Patriots, which I actually, just a little preview of the show, I went with the Bears this week.
Yeah, I did too.
I think, yeah, that doesn't speak very highly for your chances in the postseason. I think you're seeing the same thing you saw last year. Some false hope, you beat up on the Buccaneers. Oh, they shut out the Bucs. That's a playoff team from the NFC. You build false hope. I think you do that with the Packers. I think the Bears are a decent team. If they get a good win this week against the Bears, I will think a lot more of this Patriots team than I do right now.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the Tampa Bay thing that you brought up is a very, very accurate comparison because I think a lot of people thought that was a huge win last year and just proved to be really kind of an overrated, inflated team.
And the other thing about this week is, I don't know if you guys have talked about this, but it's another team, and I don't think it's necessarily the same scenario because I don't think it's their fault. I think the Vikings chose not to even try to go to sub-defenses when the Patriots spread them out, staying in their regular every-down defense. The Packers, I just don't think, had the personnel on offense to try to attack the Patriots because, to me, that game just screamed for put four or five bodies lined up wide and see what happens. And
when they did,
don't
there was
have
like no-name tight ends.
Right. They just don't have the personnel and the talent. And, you know, so I guess you can't necessarily blame it on just coaching when you don't have the bodies to do it. But I'm sorry. When you have those DB, when you have Troy Brown on the field, every time there's a third down situation at Nickelback, well, you know what? I want to know who's lined up behind Troy Brown, and I want him on the field because, in my mind, that should give me a matchup.
Well, in doing that, the best part to illustrate your point is they were able to have Troy Brown on the field for whatever, you know, 12, 15 snaps, and he was able to double-team Driver with whoever was covering Driver.
Right.
That's perfect for the Patriots.
No question. So
they'll take that as Troy Brown is helping someone rather than covering somebody.
So even beyond just the fact that I think they're an inferior team, the way it unfolded with the matchups, they were unable to take advantage of anything. So, again, I think it's kind of a meaningless, although impressive win.
And we were also saying that they went on the road and destroyed the Vikings and the Packers, so we were going to get those Lion game stories done this weekend.
Can you imagine how bad the Lions must be?
Well, just so you know, Kyle came up to me and said, defensive must stops. And I was like, give me the depth chart. Who's on that defense?
Sean Rogers
or Dre Bly?
Suspended. Sean Rogers is suspended for steroids.
Oh, that's right.
And I went with Dre Bly.
He's not playing in the game? I thought he was going to be back.
I think it's hard to go with a guy coming right off suspension.
Right.
Dre Bly, that was my next one I said, and he said, I'm not sure he has any picks this year, so I don't know.
Oh, he had one against Atlanta. He ran back inside the 10.
And then I looked and fell into my boy. I said, how's Boss Bailey playing? He's starting. I go, he's one of those athletic, speed-based linebackers.
I'm looking forward to reading that one.
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. We need two pictures for the preview story, and I couldn't think of two players. I got Roy Williams. Hopefully she puts the right one in.
All right, Eric is is in Manchester, New Hampshire. He's next up. Checking his fantasy lineup this week, he has Berrien of the Bears. And Sportsline.com says, Berrien should have better results at New England in Week 12. The matchup will be tough, but the new surface at Gillette Stadium is optimal for Berrien to get some deep balls thrown his way. Does Foxborough now have a fast track?
Well, I don't know about Berrien fast track.
Berrien hasn't played in three games.
And that will be, by the way, what we're trying to find out when we go out and kind of look at it.
It's not as fast
but
as turf.
At first, the first game, without question, but probably at first in, you know, like the first couple of weeks, it takes a while for that field turf to settle a little bit and become the surface that it is. And no matter what, when you put it in that fast, it's not settled yet. So I don't think it's going to be an overly fast track.
And is Berrien playing for sure? Because he's been out.
I don't know.
Mark Bradley has been taking the
spot.
Well,
I heard someone on the radio talk about him today, but I didn't know for sure if they knew what they were talking about, if they were just throwing it out there and didn't realize that he had been hurt. So I don't really know for sure. I would, you know, we're going to get with Chicago a lot more as the week goes on. If I'm
we
a
only
Chicago,
have one more show.
If I'm a Chicago, oh, that's right, we do only have one show.
It's only
this
for
week.
An hour.
Oh, no, we have Friday, right?
No.
What are you, nuts?
No show on Friday, hi-ho.
Why not?
How late do you think you're staying?
Because no one else is here. We'll be the only ones here.
Ew. Oh, so Gary's got the day off. Going to Hawaii?
I was going to say, Gary being like Vegas.
Vegas? Seattle?
This is the guy that said to make sure I had every single thing done by 8 o'clock Friday morning so he could go home. Now he wants to do the radio show.
You're making demands on what time people have to have their stuff done by?
I'm not making demands. I'm just...
Well,
what it sounds
I did
like
make
to
a
me.
Demand with Kyle. I said, do the must-stops. And he said, I'm working
on an update for today. I said, I don't care. You have enough trouble during a regular week. This is a holiday week. Get your
you
crap
did tell
done.
Him to do his, you did tell him to do this update before the must-stops, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I said, make sure you have your must-stops done.
Okay. Let's go to, anyway, the thing that worries me from a Chicago standpoint is the, yeah, but we had access, so I wanted to put something up.
There's none on Thursday.
The schedule for the Bears, ridiculous. Three straight trips to the East Coast for them. That's
and they're about to sweep it.
Well,
sorry.
That's a little foreshadowing if you pick tomorrow. All right, TG is in NJ. He says, glad we won, but I'm not impressed. It's amazing that
every fan
Universal, we've had about
so
six or seven guys say the same thing. I was switching back and forth between the Pats, Packers, and Jets, Bears games. Obviously, which game was more exciting to obvious? Which game was more exciting to watch?
Well, no, I don't know.
The other one might have been like watching paint dry.
Yeah.
Can the Pats play the Bears like the Jets play the Bears?
What's that?
I didn't see the game. I don't know what that means.
Well, Tom, you mentioned it earlier. The Pats lack speed and youth. Seems the only two guys in the team that have some speed and are underutilized, Maroney and Jackson. Good thing we got all those draft picks. Keep up the good.
I don't know if Maroney's underutilized.
I don't see how Maroney's underutilized.
Now, Jackson, he's underutilized, but I'm assuming there's a reason for that. There's a reason. I mean, I don't think they're just saying, like Doug Gabriel, you're not playing anymore. They don't think he's ready to get on the field and contribute. Has he always worn a mask, by the way, Paul?
Like a Phantom of the Opera?
Clear? No.
I don't know.
A clear shield on his face? I noticed that in the locker room today. Maybe he's got a vision problem. Just throwing it out there. That's what we do in this room because nothing leaves this room.
That's what you do. Anyway, Ben is in Burlington, Vermont. He says, Mike Reese said...
I don't care.
...that Vinny Testaverde was inactive for the Green Bay game. Is that true? If so, how was it legal for him to come into the game at the end? What are the rules regarding inactive players? Well, if Mike Reese said he was inactive, that's another example that he was incorrect. He was the emergency. He was the emergency quarterback. And in all seriousness, that means he can only play in the fourth quarter... Or if he comes in earlier than that, then that means the other quarterbacks can't play. So basically, he was inactive, but technically he's the emergency quarterback, and he can go in to the game as he did. So let's see. Shane is in Costa Rica. You would have liked it, Andy.
San Jose. What?
One of our listeners said that Mike Reese looks like that dude Jared from the Subway commercials trying to tell us to eat Subway all the time.
He sort of looks like him.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm assuming not that
like
guy
Brian
Jared
Lowe.
Is bigger.
Oh, well, yeah, he's much
Tom,
bigger.
Tom pointed that out.
So he'd be like the mini-me version of Jared from the Subway commercials.
So Shane's up. He says, if you have already addressed this topic, then never mind, but I was just
Mike,
curious.
To our show ever.
if Josh Miller is hurt, he has really looked bad the last few weeks. The Pats punt team better be in top condition on Sunday because Devin Hester can make you look even worse. really quick. Any news on Miller, and can the Pats bottle up the oh-so-dangerous Hester?
That's a good point, because Miller's been kicking the ball low, and if you give Hester a chance to return one, that's the type of momentum swing that can change the game.
Well, the only thing is, some of them have been so bad they never get to
right,
the returner.
Right, they go out of bounds. But
Ken Walter theory?
Yeah.
But Ken Walter had the best net average ever.
But if that does happen, get used to the name Danny Bogger.
Bogger.
I do think he might be hurt.
I don't think so.
You don't? I thought he
was injured for a period when they signed Bogger. He had a hip thing. My understanding
right.
is he's sort of recovered from that,
okay.
At least in body, but not necessarily in mind.
So he stinks.
I made an inquiry about that very topic today and was laughed at. So I don't think that
just
that
so you know,
any
somebody needs to tell Josh Miller that that's a laughable idea, that he might not be this team's punter moving forward, because I'm not sure he feels so confident that it's a laughable matter.
When I keep opening up the game book and see net average, and it starts with a 3 every week, low threes.
He has struggled.
His gross average was in the threes.
There was like a 1 yard difference. It was like 35 and 36. He has, he's not been hitting the ball cleanly. I saw at one point he was walking off the field slowly and disappointingly, and Brad Cilley looked at him and sort of threw his arms in the air as to say, what the hell was that? And, you know, talking to some people, I'm not sure Josh Miller's head is all that right now.
Clearly, that's been an issue. He has not punted well lately. Craig is in South Carolina.
Craig!
He called us earlier, Andy. He sent his best.
Oh, good, great.
The AFC smoked the NFC again this weekend. The NFC managed to lose 6 of 8 games, with the only winners being the Bears and Cowboys, which are led by Grossman and Romo, respectively.
The two best teams in the NFC.
Questions. That's true.
I know. He's so giddy now that the Cowboys are one of the best teams in the NFC again.
He's refusing to admit it. I've been throwing it out there that there's no way they're not going to lose the division. They're going to lose the division. He's all unhappy. He's like, you can tell he's uncomfortable with that.
He's giddy. I say they lose to the Bucks.
Well, that's stupid.
I can't wait. I'm going to be calling you. Keep that cell phone right by you.
I don't care what happens to the Cowboys. I'm just stating facts.
What NFC quarterbacks can you see leading their team to a win in the Super Bowl?
Any. I don't. If Romo plays like he's been playing, I think he can. If Rex Grossman plays like the good Rex Grossman, I think he can.
I didn't really quite understand the first sentence where he said, you know, and the two that won were the Bears and Cowboys, led by Grossman and Romo. I mean, what does that mean exactly?
Grossman's been
pretty solid.
Those two might be in the Pro Bowl. I mean, honestly, if Romo continues to
Grossman
play,
has had two grossly bad games.
Yeah, right.
But for the most part, he's been reasonably good.
I mean, you got Del Holme.
He's fine.
I've already
seen him almost lead a team to victory in the Super Bowl.
Paul's off Drew Brees. He's off Drew Brees.
I think the slide is coming for Drew Brees. I think he's making a lot of mistakes lately, and I don't think that he's the kind of guy that can succeed greatly being the man.
Why is
in
he
San
throwing
Diego,
the ball for 510 yards when they have two running backs?
Because they fell behind 31-10. But the reason they fell behind 31-10 is because he kept throwing picks in the end zone. And he also, I just
don't seem like they've really utilized the McAllister-Bush pairing as well as
like the
I
Patriots
think they could.
Have. And I told Paul this. They asked Lawrence Maroney, I think it was Pyers, who says, do you monitor the other rookies, you know, like Reggie Bush? And Maroney went, who? He'd say him and D'Angelo Williams are close, though.
All right, number two in terms of the questions for Craig here. How would the Pats defend against San Diego if we meet them in the playoffs?
They'll go home.
Not well.
That's the nightmare matchup.
The one thing to hold your hat on there is you know, maybe you confuse Phillip Rivers and you force him into a bad game, but I think that's one of those balanced offenses that I think would give the Patriots some trouble.
Where the Chargers have trouble in the secondary is down the field, and the Patriots really don't make a lot of big plays in the passing game. I think where they throw, that's where the Chargers are strong, and that's a bad matchup for the Patriots.
Well, I mean, we talk about how they try to attack teams. I mean, clearly I would think they would be heavy at the line of scrimmage for Tomlinson. I mean, if you're going to say there's a weakness to that team, it would be the receivers on offense.
Right.
McCardell, I know Bill will come out and praise him.
Put him in the Hall of Fame.
You know, if you can sort of take away the running game there and, you know, Gates is the wild card there, you also have to take care of him. I think they would be happy to let Rivers try to hit the receivers down the field in the game.
Well, that's why I said that's the one thing you could hang your hat on is that you know, he's not doesn't have a ton of experience, even though he's been in the league for 3 years. And maybe you confuse him a little bit. I don't think that that's a passing game, although they've certainly disproved this the last couple of weeks with huge comebacks. I don't think it's the passing game that would be at optimum efficiency coming from behind, but they've been able to do it.
I just think if they play their game, and I know this is weird because they've been falling behind and giving up a lot of yards, I think if they play their game, they're the best team in football. Just the talent.
They're the flavor of the month. There's no doubt about that.
I just think the talent. I mean, if you can get the individual groups and players to play up to their ability, I think they're tremendous. You know, the secondary, everybody has weaknesses. There's no great teams out there.
And I think the Bears have a great defense, and I think they're kind of weak in there, too, especially with Mike Brown out.
That was huge.
And, you know, I know Vasher's a nice player, and Tom talked about him earlier. I agree with Tom. But I think you could throw on them a little bit. And, you know, the other thing that we were talking about as we were leaving the stadium the other night after the Packers game was it's a little bit of a small defense Chicago has, and they play that Tampa style. I think sometimes those groups can get worn down.
You guys are nuts picking the Bears, but.
Well, I think it's a terrible spot for the Bears. That's the only, from my picks'
sake.
Like
what you said, I'm worried about their defense going up against a somewhat good AFC offense. That's the only thing I'm worried about. Like, is this defense, does it build its numbers by playing Detroit twice, Green Bay twice, and Minnesota twice?
That's possible.
Well, how about we say the Patriots are a questionable offense going up against a good defense?
But we're bringing up all the question marks from the Patriots side. I'm just bringing up one from the Bears side. Is this defense really that good, or do they get inflated numbers because of some of the teams?
You might
play
a little of both.
You might be right.
That defense, I look at it, I think they have impressive front seven.
Oh, they do. There's no question.
I'm not wagering anything on this or anything. I don't feel that strong. I mean,
what's the number?
I haven't checked. I
pick Chicago to win the game.
They definitely have good players. There's no question about it. I just, the Steelers and Carolina game last year keep coming back to me where one team who ran the ball well was able to run over them and one team that was able to throw it was able to throw over them.
Right.
So we'll have to see if they've shored that up this year.
Paul, what score did you go with?
16-13. No, 9? Well, you must think the Bears are going to score a lot this game.
One more touchdown, 16-13.
Would you go with 22-8?
21-17.
Is 16 an odd score?
No, you usually pick a 9.
Because you don't think they're going to, quote,
whatever the
score that touchdowns.
Whatever the losing team is, you usually pick a 9.
The original quote was, I just don't think they're going to score that many points when we all had 10s.
Yeah, but you took that as to say that I don't think they're going to score that many points compared to 10. I took it as period, not going to score that many points. Anyway, it was a misunderstanding. As usual, I'm the comic foil.
As usual, he's still angry.
Yeah, it's been burning me up, Andy. It makes me almost as mad as it does when you make fun of me for being late every single day.
Andy's got the score at 19-50.
is Peyton
31-14 and a half.
Is Peyton Manning the only quarterback in the AFC better than Brady?
If he is, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure he is better, but if he is, then yeah.
Give my boy Rivers some time.
What's up with Doug Gabriel?
It is. Ask Bill.
The doghouse roof.
Why do you think the NBC selected the Phillies-Colts game over the Pats-Bears for Sunday night?
Because they thought McNabb was going to play.
Because they didn't know McNabb was going to tear his ACL.
At the time they had to make the decision, the Colts were undefeated and Philadelphia had Donovan McNabb. It was better matchup.
Let's go with strike one for NBC.
Now they're asking, why do we have to do it 12 days in advance?
It took them 2 weeks of flex scheduling to pick a clunker, and they did it. Couldn't call in last week.
We're thankful for it.
Or the week before. I was on the job. I'm off this week. That, Craig, and the fact that Patriots lost the last 2 weeks prevented you from calling in.
Oh, so that's why you were here on time today. Everybody's off this week.
Right? I wasn't here
on time. No, I was going to say. I
was here before
you
me, and
here.
I get here like 10:15, so. Oh, no, 11. Whatever I got here.
And strangely, Tom and I didn't really say anything to you about it. Go figure.
Doctor's appointment.
So?
Oh,
I dropped my son off at daycare.
What is
that
it?
Something that's
you
avoidable?
You want to announce it or no?
We can announce it. Let's just say it's good news.
Oh, you
can go from there.
Son of a... God damn it.
It's good news.
What does that mean?
It's a boy.
Oh.
It means everybody I know is having boys, which...
which means stop.
I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm not having kids. It's just going to be a stupid girl, and
he's
I'm not going to love
big,
it.
That's big news broken right here on Patriots.com Radio. Andy Hart and his
and he's definitely mine
Deidre
because
expecting a boy.
They can do a
question.
They do well, no, but they do little measurements and tell you stuff like on the screen. She moves like
it's got a big head.
It's got a big head, an above average belly, and its legs might be a little below average. That's my boy.
I just want to know what's going on when you're questioning if it's yours or not.
No, I'm just kidding. But it's got the heart head and the heart belly and the stuff that goes along with it.
Michael is in
already fat.
Big pile of junk right between his legs. She goes, "Oh, it's a boy."
Funny. That's funny. Michael is in Port St. Lucie.
And you'll also laugh at this, Tom. It was sucking its thumb. And I go, come on, grow up. Stop being such a baby all the time.
He cracks himself up making fun of his kid.
Yeah. He's got to get used to it at some point. Might as well start in the womb.
I got to be honest with you. I was really rooting for you to have a girl.
I wasn't.
I'm running out of options here. Everyone I know
I still got
a boys.
I still got a shot.
You already got a boy.
And doesn't it?
I could have a girl now.
So doesn't it make it more likely to?
You're irrelevant.
Once you have one, isn't it more likely to have another one of the same sex? Isn't that how it goes?
I have no idea.
Paul's irrelevant. You already got your boy. If I have a boy, I won't care if I have a girl.
I'll just ignore her.
Yeah.
So you're definitely looking for, like, the one and done? If it's a boy, that's it?
No, I'll settle for...
He just wants a boy.
Yeah, I just want a boy. But you know I'm going to have... Because I don't want to have a lot of kids. So
you're
going to
end up with, like, three?
It's two at the most. So if we go twice and I get two girls, I'm out. And I don't mean I'm out from stop having kids. I mean I'm out to Mexico or Canada or wherever they're 14.
Definitely Canada.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Mexico is probably just anything goes. Yeah.
Remind me, by the way.
John Rook was there.
Start up a fund for you, Andy. I'm going to start giving you like $5 a week. I want you to put it aside for your son's...
Therapy?
Therapy. No question.
He'll be fine.
I definitely need that because I feel like if I didn't do that, I would have been, failing to provide a service. That he's going to need.
I'm just going to sit back and enjoy watching this train wreck.
God almighty. Michael is in Port St. Lucie, Florida. To me, this game doesn't mean anything against Green Bay. The 35-0 win only means means a confidence gain and a W on the record. Other than that, a shutout is always good, and Brady's four touchdown passes is better than his past two games, but against the last-ranked pass defense team. The Bears game is the game for me to see if we can compete in the playoffs. And even if they win, the Bears lost to the Dolphins. So there you go, Tom. They don't think their Bears are any good either. If the losses...
Patriots lost to the Jets.
If they lose, that is bad to our record against winning teams, and people will wonder if we can win in the playoffs. But you got Brady and Bill Belichick, so...
Oh, there we go.
You never know.
Matt, I thought we got rid of that after 2 weeks of getting out-coached and out-QB plays.
Despite this email, I just from the tone of Patriots Nation, I got a feeling if the Bears win, there's going to be a lot of people on the bridges.
Yep. Can't beat good teams.
By the way, I am the 15-year-old going to the Dolphins game on December 10th and seeing who I could meet out of you guys.
Are you a girl or a boy?
It's Michael.
Okay, good. So Tom's okay.
Fred.
So you're safe.
Well, if it was a girl, it was stay the hell away from Tom.
Thanks, and listen to the rest here, just in case.
Tom goes, want to take a trip to Canada with me?
Thanks, guys. You do a great job. You should be on ESPN every night. You would beat out all of their shows by far. Tom, you're the best. Then Paul, then Andy, then Fred. Or maybe that guy that fills in for Gary is before Fred, but whatever.
I got bad news for you. The guy you're going to meet is Fred.
Yes.
All right. This is finally we got to the more important stuff, Tom. Joe Besser replaced Shemp in 1956 and 57 to add insult to injury. Death paid the Stooges another visit just 3 years after Curley's demise. Shemp died of a sudden heart attack or stroke or cerebral hemorrhage, depending on the publication, at age 60 on November 22nd, 1955. Joe replaced Shemp in 56 and 57. So it was Curley,
so Curley
Shemp,
did die.
And then Joe. And
who's
Curly
Shemp?
Did die.
The guy with the bushy hair?
No, the straight hair.
I get confused.
Robert is next up, and he says, thank you, Robert. Here is my quick Stooge chronology. 1920s vaudeville show, I believe this was primarily Moe, Larry, and Shemp. 1930s and 40s short features Moe, Larry, and Curly, of course. In the mid-40s, probably 45 and 46, Curly had a debilitating stroke and could no longer work. Then it was Moe, Larry, Shemp. I believe Curly died in 47. Shemp died about 2 years after. Then through the early and mid-50s, it was Moe, Larry, and Curly Joe. There were a couple of Curly Joes. One was Joe Besser. Another was Joe Derita. I think he was more in the late 50s and 60s movies. Joe Besser is probably the more well-known one. Great win at Green Bay. Guess what? It's now officially Bear season. It'll be a tough game, but I like the Pats in this one. The Bears are in a tough spot with their third road game in a row, and I think the Pats can contain Grossman and force him into mistakes. Happy Thanksgiving, Bob from East Boston. Wow, that is more than anybody needed to know about the Three Stooges.
Yeah, and you know why?
But thanks for that. That was good.
I think I did hear before that Shemp was the original.
In the vaudeville show?
Yeah, so I think that is correct.
That was without question. I mean, that was a detailed chronology.
Are any of them related?
Shemp and... Wasn't Shemp and Moe related? Gary, Shemp Howard and Moe Howard, right?
They look exactly alike. So.
I have no idea.
Dan is in Fairfax, and he says, I have to admit I was a little worried before the game with all the secondary injuries and so forth. That all changed about an hour before the game when the ESPN on-the-field reporter said that one of the Packers players was so confident about how good the Packers were playing that he declared, we'll beat ourselves before the Patriots beat us. Well, he was right. I let out a
quote in your story, Tom. We could not have played any worse if we tried.
Right. I let out a big sigh of relief when I heard the reporter say that they never lose games when the opposition says something like that. And that's exactly what happened. They crapped all over themselves in that game. It was ridiculously bad. Jeremy is in New Market, New Hampshire. My wife forced me to go to see The Life Aquatic. And it was awful movie.
They're killing Fred.
Terrible.
You know? What's Life Aquatic?
It's the movie Fred always... Maybe you guys don't
is
hear it a
lot. Is it aquatic or aquatic? How do you...
It's aquatic.
Aquatic, right?
Maybe you guys don't hear it as much because you don't do the Friday show. He's always bragging about this movie, The Life Aquatic, and it's one of those, like, cerebral comedies.
God.
So this is the second emailer that's chimed in today saying that the movie absolutely sucks.
Terrible. It made no sense whatsoever. I was told that you had to have watched Jacques Cousteau as a kid to get any of the jokes. Again, awful.
I've never seen it, but I won't be
Fred
seeing Kirsch. It now.
As far as the Patriots are concerned, I was happy to see them win in Lambeau, but I expected it. This week, the team better play up in order to beat the Bears. This is a must-win game for them. If they want any chance at hosting a playoff game, I don't think they'll get a bye. I believe they have to win out. Well, they're going to get a home playoff game no matter what. All you have to do is win the division for that, and I think they'd have to collapse to not do that, personally. What do you think?
I think some other people would have to collapse for them to get a one or a two seed.
Yeah, I don't think that.
They're only one game behind.
Well, sort of two, though, aren't they?
No, San Diego and Baltimore, both one game ahead.
Right,
yeah, they could get the two seed.
The Patriots have lost three games in the AFC. So your conference tiebreaker would go to the other team.
But San Diego lost two, so if they lose another one, that's three.
Okay. I don't think they have a very good
chance. I don't
know
who Baltimore lost to in their two losses, but...
I don't think they have a very
good chance. I mean, I think when you're one game behind with six games left, I think you can flip a coin and go either way.
Plus, I also think they'll be two
games
behind.
One of Baltimore's losses to the NFC, they lost to Carolina.
But, I mean, there's a chance... I think there's a reasonable chance that the Patriots don't lose again. And I don't necessarily look at other teams running
the
table. I do. I did. But that doesn't mean I don't think there's a chance that the Bears could lose.
There's three chances. At Miami, at Jacksonville,
right,
and Chicago. That's it. They will not lose any of the other ones. There's no way.
Yeah, and, you know, I think... A lot will, I think, be determined this week.
Maybe, Tennessee.
Vince Sanity starting to play well by throwing the ball up in the middle of the air to the end zone and hoping.
Did you see Gretkowski's touchdown pass?
No.
It went off Joey Galloway's hands, went up in the air, and the tight end came down and caught it.
So I'm telling you guys were never more accurate with one of your calls. He is the next Tom Brady. John is next up, and he says he loves the show. I have to go get back to work, but I just have to say, Curly went crazy and got put into an asylum.
Oh.
I don't think that's true based on the other emails. I think he had a stroke.
Yeah, I never.
Maybe
heard
there
that
was
one.
A cover-up story. Maybe he really went crazy. Maybe
Could
John
be.
Knows something no one else knows.
Let's get back into the AFC East stuff. Andy is in Sioux City, Iowa. I would like to hear you guys break down the AFC East at this point in the season. Is the East better than we thought, or are we benefiting from playing the NFC North? I know 4-6 is not great. But if you look at the AFC East right now, 4-6 is the worst record of any team. I am not saying the East is the best division, just that I think it is surprising to look at the overall records right now. I would be curious to hear what you guys think. P.S. I still don't have my PFW from the Jets game. I hope the post office burned that one.
Keep up I got bad luck. News for you, buddy. They lost. I think the AFC stinks.
That might be the funniest thing he ever said. The AFC East
is better than I thought.
Huh?
I thought they were in competition for the NFC North, and clearly the NFC North is far inferior.
But I think I agree with Andy that I thought the NFC North and the AFC East were comparable, and I now think the NFC North is worse than the AFC
East. I don't think it's even close. I think the NFC North is by far and away.
Oh, by far and away. I do too. I think actually
that Green Bay team beat Miami in Miami.
Yeah. So Miami stinks though.
Right.
Well, I know, but these are the teams you're comparing.
I
Miami stinks and Green Bay stinks, but Green Bay beat Miami in Miami.
Everywhere he gets lucky every once in a while, but that Minnesota stinks. Green Bay stinks.
Those three are three of the worst teams in football, I think. And I think the AFC East next year might be a little stronger when Mangini's been there for a year. Who knows with Miami, you know, maybe they'll start out 1-5 and then make a playoff push.
Maybe not feeling the pressure
earlier.
Right,
Buffalo's kind of one of those teams where you don't really know. I mean, they got a pretty good defense.
Stink. Buffalo stinks.
Well, aren't they 5-5?
No.
What are they?
4-6.
I'm sorry, I was that far off.
idiot.
You said aren't they 5-5, and I said no.
Well, they could go 8-8, maybe. That's not a bad year for Buffalo.
I think the AFC East is better than the NFC North. That's the only thing I'm giving it. I'm going to give that division because they're terrible. The other three teams,
terrible.
Those other three teams to me aren't very good.
No.
And they're benefiting from A, playing each other, and B, playing the NFC North.
And two of them might beat the Patriots.
I'm not saying.
Yeah, I'm going to be surprised if that happens, but it could happen. Could happen.
Mark it down. Miami. All right. 10th.
This is another Andy in New Hampshire. He says if the Bears can get pressure on the quarterback, will Brady go back to his less than accurate passing game? Did I see Favre getting flustered under pressure or even Manning last week? I didn't see Favre getting flustered under pressure because I never saw him under pressure except for the play he got sacked, and that was his last play. I just saw him missing wide open guys all over the field. I'd like to hear someone talk about the matchups at the line. Do we match up in the trenches against the Bears? Will we see coverage sacks? Brady is awesome when he stands back there with plenty of time. Tom, you did the preview on Chicago. Why don't you break down the line matchups?
It's not good. I'll tell you that right now. They got those edge rushers. What's his name? Brown,
Alex
Anderson,
Brown.
And
Adumlier. Wally.
Anderson has eight.
Wally Adumlier.
Anderson has 8.5 sacks coming off the edge. Inside, they got Tank Johnson. He's kind of their run-stuffing guy who eats up the blocks. And then Tommy Harris, who's not only good against the run, but he's got like 5.5 sacks from the tackle position. So I think that's probably the worst matchup of the year will be this defensive line. It's as good as it gets, you know, in the NFL as far as overall defensive lines, I think.
Oh, and by the way, Lance Briggs and Brian Urlacher are roaming around
behind them. They're not
That's the key, though. If they can get pressure with those guys up front and be able to use guys like Briggs and Urlacher on Watson, then that – because Urlacher is athletic enough and big enough to stay with Watson, in my opinion.
And Briggs is known as, like, one of the best coverage linebackers in football as well. So I was going to say that's a good point because both those guys can cover in space.
Well,
so
thanks,
if they can if they can get pressure and use them to cover and stuff, it's going to be tough. I mean, Vasher can cover. Tillman, not a great cover guy. He's good against the run. You can pick on him a little bit. Safeties are, they're a little weak. But I think overall, tough defensive front for the Patriots to go up against.
So that gives you a little bit of a scouting report for the line matchups. The other way, I know Olin Krutz is their center. Chicago,
one
but
of
I'm not.
Players in the
yeah,
NFL.
And he's one of those Kevin Mawai types who's vicious. Although I'll tell you, Tom Nalen, that play the other night really bothered me.
I think
me.
He should be suspended.
I think he should be too. I or at least fined.
That is just a cheap shot. There's
it's
no
criminal.
Other way to put it.
It's criminal.
It's the same thing that happened with the guy from Virginia.
Hey, that's what I said on the radio yesterday.
Oh, did you? When he hit Kiwanuka, the only difference was the result wasn't the same.
Right.
That's the only
right.
difference.
To me, those are, and I don't know how you do it, but those cross the line of part of the game versus criminal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're trying to hurt a guy's livelihood. You're trying to end a career or, you know, take him out of a game. That Nalen thing, that's just, can you imagine
that play
if you
really
were like
bothered me.
His mom? I would be embarrassed to know Tom Nalen.
Well, not surprising
week.
Where he went to school. Anyway.
Easy, Felger Jr.
Anyway, Chris is next up. He has a Caponomics question. I think the most underreported Pat story is their cap mismanagement, and I'd like to get your opinions. I felt they should be getting killed for being for missing the market on wideouts to the point their team has desperate needs and they have plenty of cap money left. Yes, I understand they will probably end up giving bonuses to move cap space forward. And yes, I know they don't want to pay a number one receiver when their number one could go several games without a catch if there is a matchup opportunity away from them. All that said, they are desperate for wideout options and have plenty of money, and there is no debating that this is a very unpatriot-like cap failure. What say you guys?
I still, and this is going to sound sort of homerish or whatever, I still hold that they thought they were going to spend that money on Deion Branch. And I think they, whether you want to argue they misplayed that whole situation, they didn't intend to save money. They thought they were going to sign Deion Branch to a long-term contract extension. They also thought at one point they were going to sign Ty Law. So they were going to use up that money. It just, it didn't work out in the end. So did they mismanage it? Yes, because they lose out in the end. So no matter what they thought, they mismanaged it. They misread Deion. And I don't, did you guys talk about this at all? John Cesnarik, the guy from Fox Information, Fox.com.
Zarnecki?
Zarnecki, whatever. That guy. Old guy, by the way, too. Sounds like it. He's one of those guys that sounds like he's got marbles that are all gruff in the back. But he reported on, I guess he has a blog, information-type blog.
It's not one of the best in the country.
What?
It's not the best in the country.
Why?
Just go. Keep going.
Is that a shot at Reese?
Yes.
Okay, proceed. He reported that the whole Mangini thing is totally 100% about the Branch. The fact that the Jets get in with the Branch thing, knowing that there'd be no way in heck the Patriots would trade him to him, that Bill thinks another team would not have gotten involved if the Jets hadn't gotten involved. He apparently blames Mangini and the Jets for totally screwing up the whole Deion Branch thing.
Isn't that something the Patriots would do?
That was the question that was
Isn't
posed.
Is it a smart business?
Yeah, no, that was.
That's
but,
why they call him Man Genius.
We call them Man Genie in a bottle.
I call them Eric, but you know,
Bill doesn't.
but and, no, and yeah. either do I. And as PFW, I refer to him as their head coach.
My favorite was him mixing a salad.
That is great, but yeah, there's no question that's a Patriots move, and it's a good move. It's a good business move. You hurt a competitor for your division title. Yeah, it's a great move, but apparently that's why Bill is holding this grudge. They think they screwed up the whole Deion Branch thing.
And I'll say is that one receiver who will be on the market probably this offseason is Randy Moss. And you should not touch him with a 10-foot pole. He will single-handedly bring this organization to its knees. You know why? When you have two bad games like you did against the Colts and the Jets, when everyone keeps quiet, he won't. He'll complain. The guy is a loser. He's not nearly as good as he used to begin with. He's not
that's
even that great of a receiver.
Issue.
So I say pass on Randy Moss, so just stop those emails right now.
Yeah, you know, I've come around on that, too. I used to defend T.O., and I used to defend Randy Moss, and I think they're both the same guy now. I think they're both irrelevant. I don't think neither one of them is anywhere near as good as they once were, and the only difference is that T.O. is playing for a pretty good team still, and Moss isn't. Otherwise, they both have similar numbers and be irrelevant together, because I think T.O.'s done, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, Early is back for a second go-around. Doesn't want to be an email pig, but you guys are right, talking about how the Patriots linebackers seem to be a step and a half too slow to cover the pass. So let's play GM here for a minute. I would go strong after Briggs of Chicago and turn at least one of the first-round picks into an established but not past the age of 30 linebacker. If they can maneuver just right under the cap with some salary restructuring and the right tweaking, all our stress levels can be reduced. I know they won't, but they should re-sign Graham. They should also keep Samuel as well, if only because he's been in the system and the fear of another Dwayne Starks episode is frightening. What would you do? Why don't you guys talk about
that?
Well,
the thing about, you know, bringing in Briggs from Chicago is I know another team that's going to be interested in Briggs from Chicago. Chicago. I mean, he's a very big part of what they do on defense, and you know, like I said, it'd be a great addition. He's a good coverage linebacker, probably like the younger version of Donnie Edwards, you know, where he can cover and do a lot of different things. But I imagine the Bears are going to make signing him a priority.
They afford to.
I don't know what
that would be a big piece of cap pie in two guys right there at linebacker.
I don't know what their cap status is. Although I think it's funny that that third linebacker, nobody knows what it is. Hunter, he's got that long.
Hillsmeyer, yeah, Hillenmeyer.
Hillenmeyer. So,
Apple H.
So the, it'll be interesting. I mean, obviously if they can't re-sign him, he'll be a big.
Well, he's going to be target. The top linebacker on the market probably, and that means
that
there'll
be
teams
pickup.
Interested, there'll be money, and would the Patriots be willing to go top of market price for
at some point, don't you have to go top of market on something?
I think so. And I don't just disregard it. I had this argument with Felger because, you know, oh, he's going to be the top linebacker. Well, so? Sooner or later, they got to go after some guys, spend some money. Roosevelt Colvin was supposedly the top linebacker on the market his year. They went out and they got him. You know, I don't, you know, they have to try and spend money. And they don't care, I don't think, if they place the guy as an elite player and the money
right.
is in what they consider that range for that position, they'll do it. That's the problem. Will they consider him?
That's the thing you don't know either. You don't know where they place the value.
Right.
You know, they very well could have his value placed just as high as everybody else does on him.
But I think that's an overrated aspect of this team's philosophy that they say, oh, Lance Briggs, top linebacker on the market, and they just cross him off.
Right. They don't do that.
No. If they're interested in him as a player, they'll find out what it's going to cost.
You never know what Bill's thinking.
Right.
He loves Paul Brown and thinks Vince Lombardi's an overrated stiff. I mean, who knows?
One question. Woodley? Can he play outside linebacker?
Who?
Lamar Woodley?
Isn't that his name? Woodley from Michigan?
I don't
permanently
think,
standing up all the time?
I don't think so because of his build. He's got he's like 260.
Right.
But he's very thick.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's not the tall, angular Willie McGinnis. He looks like a lineman. So my guess is no. And I think he'd be more of a Daryl Tapp type of player where maybe you could put him in situations, but I don't
sort of a true tweener.
Yeah.
Early has some more Three Stooges stuff, too. and just so you know, Curly originally replaced Shemp just before they started making the short features. Shemp replaced Curly after Curly's stroke. Joe replaced Shemp after he died, and Curly Joe was used in the latter movies. Great show, as always. Russell,
quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
From the sun-soaked OC, where all the chicks look like they are at the age of consent. Craig wanted to know, Andy off the roids?
That's not funny.
Well, I don't think anybody was looking for humor.
I've been busy. I haven't been to the gym much lately.
Ryan checks back and says the age of consent is 16 in Canada.
I was going to say 14 does not sound right. That's
gross.
That is gross.
Let's
16,
see.
Now we're talking.
I'm more, you know, 18, 19. It's not like, you know, I want them 12 years
old. I'm not saying.
Before they go to college and get fat.
I like young girls.
These are the things that you guys are talking about with Fred when the guy that just, you know,
yeah.
he mows right
through the forest.
He mows a forest.
Fred wants one.
Every time this commercial.
But this company has like 10 machines that are like this in different ways.
Bring it down a tree.
He wants them all.
Yeah, he wants, and he'll have them because he's
rich. Oh, my question is, what then gets done with all of that? Like, where does it go?
I don't know.
Anyway, Luis is next up. He's in Tampa. I was just wondering why the Pats don't give Tully Bantakane more playing time. He's clearly getting better every time he's out there on the field. And he's young. I hate to say it, but he is our fastest linebacker, and he gets to the quarterback the best. What do you guys think? P.S., we need more speed.
Well, I think what he's doing now is good, but if he gets more playing time, you're not going to be as high on him, let's put it that way.
He's in that role. He comes in as a rusher, as a sub-down rusher, and that takes advantage of his speed and getting to the quarterback. Clearly, they've sort of seen at this point he's not one of their best every-down linebackers, and it's just the way it is.
He has gotten more playing time, though, I think, since that Minnesota game.
But mostly in sub-type defenses.
Right, but he wasn't getting any of that,
right.
Really, unless there was injuries early. Like the Bruschi injury obviously gave him a role in the opener when he was part of that safety. But he hadn't, I didn't think, over the next month or so, didn't really get many snaps, sub or otherwise, and I think he has been lately. And I think Luis is right. I think he's shown up a little bit more, you know, now that he's gotten some snaps. Eric is in Manchester, New Hampshire. He says that Brad Briggs of the Chicago Sun-Times reports that Bears wide receiver Bernard Berrien will remain in the starting lineup heading into Week 12, according to head coach Lovie Smith. Despite the production of Mark Bradley over the past two games, Bradley has seen extended time due to Berrien being sidelined with an injury, so it looks like Berrien will start this week.
Okay.
Against the Pat Rots.
But Bradley's a guy they're going to have to watch out for when they do spread him out because he's starting to come on a little bit himself.
Spread them out if it's the same secondary that you saw last week, because I myself...
Well, the Bears have the personnel to do it.
I'm honestly intrigued. I want to see what happens if a team does that. If a team goes out there with five wide, I want to see the players who come on the field, first of all.
Desmond Clark is a former receiver in college. He's one of those faster tight ends. You use him, those three receivers, spread them out.
If the injuries can continue with Samuel and Wilson and those guys can't go, I honestly am intrigued. Does Willie Andrews play? I don't know. I'd like to see how it would unfold.
Another mystery of the science world, Andy.
I don't think we'll see it because I kind of get the feeling that maybe Wilson and Samuel will be back this week.
Yeah.
Well, certainly, Tom and I were talking about this. Samuel was, when I was talking to Richey Caldwell, he came over and he was joking around a lot with Caldwell. Not in a rude way, but kind of butted in and was, you know, we were talking for a while. And I just don't think that you're that lighthearted and that initiating contact with the media if you're out. This is not one of my, he looked fine to me.
I love Paul's medical evaluations in the locker room. Hey, he looks fine.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, how many times have you seen a guy who's out go over and initiate a conversation with, when the media is there? You know, usually you don't see the guys at all. So, you know, we'll have to see on Sunday, but I think that Samuel might be back. As Tom pointed out, they probably just knew that they could win that game without him.
Could be. Could also be one of those things, though. If you do play these guys, say Wilson comes back and he's on your active roster and Willie Andrews isn't or Rashad Baker isn't or Antoine Spahn isn't, could be one of those where it's almost worse if he gets hurt during the game and re-injures the hamstring. Now all of a sudden you're scrambling.
You lose two
now
games.
You have Don Davis playing or who knows who playing in the secondary. So,
yeah.
You know, that's one of those where you got to be careful what you wish for there.
Craig says the Patriots, per the USA Today, are favored by 3.5 with an over-under of 36.5.
Take the over.
I bet you that line will go up.
Which line?
The Patriots line.
Really?
Yeah, because people are starting to get the NFC-AFC mismatch down, and usually when the Patriots are that kind of favorite over an NFC team, people jump on them.
He also wants to know, and I don't have the answer to this because I don't have the standings, but how many teams have allowed fewer points than the Patriots?
Two, I believe.
Two?
I believe it's two. Yeah.
Of our three losses, can you place the blame for any of them on the play of the defense?
Well, they didn't do a great job against the Colts, I would say.
I don't think that they did a great job in the Jets game either, but I don't place the blame for either loss on the defense.
I would place the blame on it.
Right. I even think, even though they only allowed 17 points to the Jets, and seven of those came on a short field when the Patriots turned it over on the 20-yard line, 23 or whatever, I thought that the defense had a hard time getting off the field that day, even though they didn't allow a lot of points.
I blame Brady. We give him all the credit for wins. I blame him for losses.
I blame Bill.
You're just mean.
Okay, let's blame Bill, too.
Josh is next up. He says,
oh, one quick thing. Sorry, I forget. The number thing popped into my head. Remember when we ran the thing in the paper about the three straight road wins by more than 22?
Yeah, it's four now, and it's a record.
Ever?
Evidently. Yeah.
A real one or a fake one?
Well, according to the Elias Sports Bureau, no one's ever done that.
A 1970 or like
a
ever?
Oh, I don't know.
That's the other thing, that not losing back-to-back games. Some of the streaks behind them that they really had were really
80-something,
yeah.
Yeah, which I didn't know that, and that turned into one
so
of those things.
So it's like a season and a half longer or whatever.
Yeah, well, this one is one of those, the four road wins by a certain amount of points is one of those SID stats I'm not really all that interested in anyway.
Oh, no, it's random.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking, oh, three was a record. Well, they went out and one-upped it. And so it is a record. Okay. Good to know.
According to one of the notebooks I read today, I think it was in the Globe. I think it was Reese.
Oh, Mike Reese, of course.
Elias Sports Bureau.
Of course. He knows the difference between a bell and a belt like the best of them.
The AFC East might suck, but it wouldn't be so bad to play in the AFC South either. Not hard to get to 9-1 with six free games. I originally would have said the AFC East was weakest, but I definitely think the AFC South is the worst.
Why is there six free games?
So there's a team in the AFC South that's not the Colts that beat the second best team in the AFC East by 41 points.
and they're a free win. We'll see how free it is when the Patriots travel down there, because they're going to get killed. You heard me.
First of all,
but where are you going?
First of all, we have 5 minutes left in the show.
He likes to drop those right at the end and then walk off.
So you obviously mistimed that shot.
Because he doesn't want the emails that, Tom, you're not the favorite anymore. I didn't know you felt that way.
I think that's going to be a tough game for him. I think Miami could be a tough game
for
him.
You said they have no chance. You didn't say it was going to be a tough game.
They'll probably win.
No chance.
What do you think about Gerard?
He's all right.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about him.
I don't
love
him.
Yeah,
he's just
an air kind of guy. I don't necessarily consider him a team quarterback. Like, this is the guy I want to build around.
I agree.
And I don't.
Like, I think if they played the
Patriots.
I think if the Patriots play them here, they'd kill him. I think the Jacksonville defense will give them trouble, and I think they'll probably end up beating him.
I think he's a solid backup.
I think he's a very good backup.
I'd love to have him as my backup and not have to worry about that for 5 years or so.
I fear him.
I don't think that he's a guy that I want to build my organization around.
I don't have to game plan for him. He's just kind of
I certainly don't fear those receivers. They can't catch a cold. And I didn't know that until watching that game.
I didn't know Reggie Williams
started off hot.
I didn't know did you see the numbers they put up there, that stat?
32 receptions in the first four games.
Three in the last three or something like
that. Awful.
They stink.
Lou is next up, and he says, it's about time people stop giving a free pass to the Patriots' team business philosophy. They messed up royally, and we will get knocked out of the playoffs because of it. I can see it now. Adam Vinatieri will kick the game-winning field goal against us in Indy in the AFC Championship game and get a berth to the Super Bowl, while the team, in capital letters, will go home and sit on their butts a second year in a row when they should have been to another Super Bowl. Any good team should be allowed to defend its title despite the terminology being used about not defending anything. I'm sorry. You need to defend what is yours until you are knocked out, period. We should have played Pittsburgh, but again, we had let too many guys out the year before. Same scenario. They let too many guys go in the media, press, and many are giving a free pass to the Pats. Wrongdoing. Not you guys, but in general. The fans like myself pay a lot of money to see these guys play. Ticket prices should be cut when the cap is not spent. I think we made a big mistake to not sign Dion and should have made him happy. He was the man we needed. I would have paid more for tickets to have Branch and Brady. That is like taking away Jim Rice from Joe Montana. Give me a royal break. No one screwed up that deal except the bargain basement mentality that is getting out of hand. Too many out of balance decisions. They are lucky to be 8-3. They are 7-3. But when it comes to the big game, we will lose. That's Lou in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Avid Pats fan. Yeah, you can tell. Rook. John Rook.
Hey.
Hey. Who's Texas losing to next week?
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Wow. Actually, that was pretty funny.
Hey, Rook.
Texas A&M on Friday is the next victim.
Texas A&M on Friday.
What age do girls reach legality in Mexico? I figured you'd know.
You asked that question like I'm an expert on the subject.
Well, you told me you summered in Mexico. You snuck across the border and did shots of tequila and Mexican girls.
When I did that, I was, younger than 16 myself.
They just happened to come from Mexico.
I would assume, I only went out with older women at that time. So.
Is this Rook?
This is Rook. I was trying to get the legal age in Mexico.
Oh. I like A&M.
By the way, I have immensely enjoyed the Three Stooges talk today.
Oh, a lot of good Three Stooges talk.
Excellent. There's just nothing better than the Three Stooges.
Oh, I thought he was talking about us.
Well, very good, Andy. Very good.
Not that good.
Not as good as yours.
So what do you got coming up, John?
We're actually going to visit with Brad Biggs from the Chicago Sun-Times in just a little bit to kind of dive into the Bears, just because it's a little bit shorter, week than we normally get around here. So we'll definitely jump into that. Bilo will be along in the second hour to kind of recap a little bit of Green Bay.
That pencil neck geek low.
Yeah, well, he did get the chance to spend some time in the formerly known as the frozen tundra turf of Lambeau Field, so we'll talk to him about that.
He didn't even have a seat. Don't let him fool you.
John, before we put a wraps on our show here, the basic, feeling among all of our emailers, we didn't get one really dissenting email today, was that, yes, it was a win. Yes, it was impressive to win 35-0, and they played well, but it didn't mean anything because the Packers stank, and we won't really know anything more until they do this or have a performance like this against a quality opponent. How did you feel watching the game on Sunday?
I have to admit that my overall impression, kind of looking back on it, with the 2020 hindsight, was very similar to that. But I would say that based on the fact that they had lost two in a row before that, anyway, that any kind of a win would have been somewhat satisfying. So I think they accomplished that one. You have to look at it with somewhat of a tempered reaction, only because it was Green Bay and because I'm not sure how Green Bay won four games this year, to be quite honest with you. But nevertheless, as Coach Belichick is wont to say, it is what it is. And it was a win. It was a chance for them to kind of feel a little bit better about themselves. And maybe they needed that, guys, in all honesty, because I know that there was some doubt beginning to creep in. We know that there was a little sniping going on, whether it was kind of just sort of under the radar or whether it was Richard Seymour coming out and saying what he did last week or what have you. But there was just, this was very quote-unquote un-Patrick-like. And now that you've kind of dispatched this team, you can kind of like turn your attention now to, all right, now we're back to where we were. Now we need to take the next best step, and that is to beat a team that really has the tag of contender hung around his neck, and that would be the Bears this week.
Well, you can get more of that, obviously, coming up, but it's time to turn your attention to John Rook and Patriots Playbook, because it's time for Tom, Andy, and I to go upstairs and get that menacing look from Fred, because we dawdled on a Tuesday before our TV show. So we're out of here. John will have you for the next couple hours. We'll see you tomorrow.